A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler-receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
From the west coast of Europe, Radio Netherlands has the teamwork to make the dream work.
Media Network, the weekly communications review, hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Welcome aboard. Glad you could join us for half an hour scanning the airwaves. Ooh, haven't conditions been lousy on shortwave? Anyway, I've been digging through the archives again and found a tape recorded in New Jersey, USA by Tom Sundstrom. This is how this station signed on exactly 30 years ago today.
We are tuned to Radio Nederland in Hilversum, Holland. Tuned to our national service broadcasting in the 16, 19, 35, and 49 meter bands. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, everybody, and a special good evening to listeners in Great Britain and continental Europe. Good afternoon to listeners on the North American continent.
Remember the 60s? No, oh, neither do I. Gone is the great era of frequencies announced in...
Megacycles per second.
Megacycles per second, those were the days. Yes, when it's lousy weather outside, what better way to pass the time than sort out the archives? And listening to tapes of other stations, life on shortwave seemed to be a bit more relaxed in those days, not the first past-the-post race that we have in the 1990s.
And it's a beautiful sunny day here at the International Shortwave Broadcasting Thoroughbred Race. And the horses are coming out of the paddock and they're approaching the starting gates. It's Voice of America looking nice and trim, VOA, Radio Canada International, RCI. Radio Tirana, a bucky little horse if there ever was one. Radio Moscow, a bit heavy in the underflanks. There's Deutsche Welle, looking very solid indeed, if a little bit slow. Radio Australia and Radio France International, they have certainly dressed that horse up. And the horses are in the starting gate. We're just waiting now for the final moments of this horse race. And the horses are off, and they're into a race. They're running off. And in the first furlong, it's Radio France International, followed by Radio Tirana. Radio Tirana is giving her a very good run. And it's Radio Moscow in third, RCI in fourth. Radio Australia is coming up on the outside in fifth. And it's the VOA in sixth, the BBC in there too, good old babe. And it's Radio Netherlands number seven, and number eight is Deutsche Welle.
And we return to that race a little later on. Now, though, to the serious topic of deliberate interference, or jamming. We've noted that whilst the former Soviet Union and the countries of Eastern Europe have long since switched off their short and medium-wave jammers, other countries have switched them on, designed to broadcast annoying noises on top of certain international broadcasters beaming into their country. Iraq is still the champion in the Middle East, having given priority to the reconstruction of jamming transmitters before restoring broadcast transmitters. You'll recall they were damaged during the Allied bombing in 1991. 2 years later, with Saddam Hussein again in the headlines, certain Arabic language broadcasts beamed into Iraq are subjected to deliberate interference. Wednesday's Allied strike on Iraq doesn't seem to involve the destruction of broadcast transmitters. Baghdad's broadcasting efforts have been erratic enough. Radio Iraq International's English service consists of sporadic news bulletins inserted into the Arabic service. Elsewhere, the jamming focus is on Asia, with the People's Republic of China and Burma coming to mind, plus increased activity now from North Korea. There's a daily war of words between North and South Korea, with each side jamming the other. But now it appears the North Koreans are gradually stepping up the network of HF noise generators. Toru Yamashita and Atsushi Osaka are involved with the Asian Broadcasting Institute based in Japan. Last Wednesday, Atushi noted jamming on the Korean service of the religious station Adventist World Radio, broadcasting on KSDA, Agania, Guam. The channel of 9650 kHz is blocked now between 13 and 14 hours UTC, as well as the repeat from 20 to 21 hours UTC on 11980 kHz. Toru Yamashita then checked the Korean language services of other international broadcasters, and he noted that all the frequencies of the Voice of America Korean service are blocked, like this. That's the sound of 17740 kHz at 13 hours UTC, recorded in Japan on Tuesday, and 11930 and 15195 are blocked too. And from 2130 to 22 hours, 6130, 7110, 7160 and 9755 kHz suffer similar interference. Toru says that general direction finding and the unique sound indicate that jamming originates from inside North Korea. No other broadcasters, though, seem to be affected so far.
Radio Japan, the Voice of Free China, Radio Moscow, and KTWR. Korean service is no problem now.
In April last year, North Korean jammers started blocking shortwave channels originating from Seoul, South Korea. They were carrying a relay of the KBS Radio 1 network from 22 hours through to 04 hours UTC on 9525 kHz. But a few months later, the jamming intensified even further.
Last July or August, all of the Korean service of Radio Korea were covered from jamming.
Toru Yamashita in Tokyo. Bill Whitaker, chief of the Frequency and Monitoring Division of the Voice of America, told Media Network last night that the jamming is not effective in South Korea. Of course, one of the ways to combat jamming is to use a directional antenna. Pretty easy on medium wave with the built-in ferrite rod antenna, but less so if you're listening on shortwave. Mike Villard has written a follow-up article about directional shortwave antenna for portables. That's in the 1993 World Radio TV Handbook, and first shipments of that book have now reached Europe. And we've also got a brochure at Radio Netherlands about shortwave loops if you want to do some experiments yourself. It's listed in our listener services catalogue, available free of charge. A bit of a blast from the past again now.
Aqui, Portugal, Moçambique. Fala-vos o Rádio Clube em Lourenço Marques, transmitindo em ondas curtas.
Check your time by the LM chime. The time is midday. This is the shortwave service of Lorenzo Marx Radio, Portugal, Mozambique, broadcasting in the 25, 49 and 60 meter bands.
And that sound of LM Radio, recorded 20 years ago when it was very much the commercial radio station in southern Africa, was a bit like Radio Luxembourg in Europe or the SLBC in Sri Lanka. Most of the music programmes were sponsored by cigarette manufacturers, and the disc jockeys had that rich, deep sound that you get from smoking three packs a day. In the 60s, fighting erupted in the country between Frelimo forces, who wanted independence, and the army of the colonial power, Portugal. The government in Lisbon sent more than 70,000 troops to this southeastern part of Africa to restore order. But the huge costs involved meant that gradually the colonial forces lost their grip. By June 1975, Frelimo had taken over, nationalising LM Radio and turning it into Radio Mozambique. The LM Chimes catchphrase was later adopted by Swaziland Commercial Radio.
Check your time by the Truro Chime. It's precisely 1 o'clock on Radio Truro.
See what I mean? Back to Mozambique, though, because in the coming months, it may well be back in the news. In October of last year, the Mozambican government and the RENAMO rebel movement signed a peace agreement in Rome. And in the next few weeks, United Nations troops and observers will be arriving in the country to supervise the demobilisation of troops from both sides and to monitor implementation of the peace agreement. So, how has radio been affected? Eric Beauchemin has just returned from a fact-finding trip to Maputo. He popped into Radio Mozambique studios.
The external service grid Mozambique was established in 1980, soon after the independence of Zimbabwe, because previously the channel of the external service was used as the voice of Zimbabwe during the war of Zimbabwe's liberation. But then Radio Mozambique thought, well, instead of closing the station, we should continue with the broadcasting, but directed to South Africa, or in other words, directed to Southern Africa as a whole, but especially to help South Africans fight against apartheid.
José Tembe is a journalist at Radio Mozambique's external service known as Radio Maputo.
This is Radio Maputo, the external service of Radio Mozambique. We are broadcasting to Southern Africa.
We normally describe it as Radio Maputo, the external service of Radio Mozambique. We always have to do it like that because it doesn't depend much on Radio Mozambique as a whole. In fact, it was previously under the Minister of Information, and the head of the external service had to answer directly to the Director General or to the Minister of Information. But nowadays, we are under the Director of Radio Mozambique's Director of Production.
10 journalists work at Radio Maputo, and all are Mozambicans, except the head of the external service, Ian Christie, who's British. The station produces 1.5 hours of English language output a day, from 11 to 11:30 UTC, and from 18 to 19 UTC.
First, the news read by Ian Christie, the headlines.
Both transmissions open with a bulletin of news, followed by Outlook Africa, Radio Maputo's current affairs program, from Monday to Friday.
Hello, this is Louisa Bernsey with this first edition of Outlook Africa and Radio Maputo's current.
On Saturday at lunchtime, there's a review of the week's events in Mozambique, and on Sunday, Sunday Special. The evening programs on the weekend include news, jazz, and Mozambican music. Radio Maputo is on the air from 11 to 11:30 UTC on 11820 kHz, 11835 kHz, 1079 kHz medium wave, and on 98.01 FM. And from 18 to 19 hours UTC on 4855 and 3265 kHz, 1079 medium wave, and the same FM frequency in the Mozambican capital. Despite the station's efforts to give the best possible coverage of events in Mozambique and Southern Africa, Radio Maputo faces serious problems.
The main problem now is that our equipment are obsolete. They are very, very old. They need to be replaced, and this involves a lot of money. I understand a few months ago there was an agreement between Radio Mozambique and a Japanese company to rehabilitate, I think, 2 medium wave transmitters from here, from Maputo. And in a later stage, they're going to upgrade the other transmitters in the provinces. So, in fact, there is a desire to expand programs, but because of these difficulties of transmitters, which cannot cover the entire territory in a very good quality, this is still a problem that we face and is a hiccup.
Reporter Cyprian Chenyala was at the closing ceremony and talked to some delegates. The first was from South Africa.
My name is Maria Mushalu. I belong to the Alexander Youth.
The shortwave transmitters are also very, very weak. They can't reach many parts, even of Africa. So they also need to be replaced. Mozambique was living under this pressure of not having its own resources to get a lot of technical equipment. The priority was food for people. I remember in one of the occasions in the past, the leaders of Radio Mozambique tried to convince the government that the radio was very important and it also deserved consideration. Unfortunately, little has been done so far by the government to upgrade all the infrastructures of the radio.
But in the coming months, Radio Mozambique's domestic and external services will be playing a key role in the transitional phase before general elections, currently scheduled to take place next October, though they will most likely have to be postponed. It's Radio Maputo's job to inform the 1.5 million Mozambican refugees living in southern Africa.
When we broadcast stories, for instance, about elections, we are also taking part in the process. We've been also trying to give airtime to all the different emerging parties, because, as you know, previously we only had a single-party system here, but now we are trying to have a multi-party system in Mozambique. So we try to give everybody time.
Including RENAMO?
Of course, we've had the voice of the leader himself, Mr. Lagama. We've had the voices of many other people. The only problem is that not all of them speak English, so whenever they don't speak English, we can only quote them. Mm-hmm. But whenever they speak English, we interview them, we use them on the air. I think the first time that we had Lagama on the air was when he was in Gaborone before the signing of the accord in October. He spoke in English. Radio Botswana gave us a copy of the speech of Mr. Lagama and we used it. But before this process, we were not using any voice of RENAMO.
Escutam Radio Mozambique em Maputo.
Radio Mozambique, like other public service sectors in the country, is now being purged of members of Frelimo, which used to be the country's only political party.
Yes, there is this separation. In fact, I heard that the Director General of Radio Mozambique, who is one of the leaders of Frelimo, was going to leave the radio because his presence was not justifiable. Many parts were already complaining that his presence was a threat. So they wanted him out. So I heard that he is about to leave and he's going to be replaced by the current director of the experimental television.
How do the journalists feel about these changes now taking place within Radio Mozambique?
Well, I've heard many people expressing their satisfaction. They are very happy that now they will actually be free, as the law of the press says.
For Radio Maputo, like the rest of Mozambican society, these are momentous times. Peace is on the horizon after 16 years of bitter civil war that left over 1 million dead. Mozambicans are tired of living under siege. They're expressing their ideas and opinions, and Radio Maputo is reflecting this new openness. So I asked José Tembe if the station was now getting a lot of response from listeners.
Nowadays we don't get many letters because we don't encourage them to write to us. Why, I don't know exactly, but we used to have a lot of letters coming from the neighboring countries. We used to get letters also from India, from the United States, Australia, and some other countries, yes. Nowadays, we can hardly get any. We can get 1, 2, maximum 3 letters. I think the main problem was that the country was having a lot of problems, war, hunger, etc., etc., and up to now, we are living on donations, etc. So we thought if we asked people to write to us, we would be falling into the same mistake of asking, requesting, begging and begging. So we stopped asking people to write to us. We said, okay, if they want, they can write to us.
Only the station stopped announcing its address, too, and the mail virtually dried up. But now the station is more interested in listener feedback.
We have thought of trying to correct the problem, but we sometimes forget.
But Jose knows that listeners do tune in.
I remember once there was a conference here, an international conference. Some people from Namibia and South Africa were wondering about a certain name which was always appearing on the radio. They said, oh, who is this so-and-so? I said, why do you ask me that? They said, oh, it's because he pronounces his name in a funny way that we just giggle when we listen to him. So, which means we also have listeners outside. We don't know how many, but we have a lot of people also listening, I think.
What was the name?
Enric Manik.
That That report was compiled by Eric Beauchemin, and if you'd like to get in touch with Radio Maputo, here's the address. Radio Maputo, P.O. Box 2000, Maputo in Mozambique. So that's P.O. Box 2000, Maputo, Mozambique.
Radio Netherlands. Continental talk radio from the heart of Northwest Europe.
Wait, things are changing here. I see all Radio Netherlands is moving up into contention. And my goodness, Radio Tirana seems to be falling back. So right now, at three quarters of the way through this horse race, it's Radio Moscow in the lead, followed by Radio France. Then there's RCI, but RCI looks like she's fading a bit, followed by BBC. And Radio Netherlands is in fifth place. And the
positions seem to be changing on other fronts, too. A few months back, Peter Marshall wrote to us from St. John's Wood in northwest London in England. A cooling fan on a transformer in a nearby electricity substation was malfunctioning, causing an enormous amount of radio interference. In fact, shortwave reception was impossible. Peter found that trying to complain about this interference resulted in very little sympathy from the National Grid Company. In fact, it was up to him to prove that there was really a problem. John Pettigrew in Speak Liverpool, England, rang our answer line with a similar case of local interference.
I've tried several times over the years to get the Home Office to do something about the interference that we have to put up with shortwave. And each time they send back some stupid letter, either that reception strength varies or stations are not supposed to produce listenable signals within other countries' borders by international agreements.
Yes, in general, government departments responsible for policing the airwaves are only willing to help if interference is being caused to a national radio service. Signals from abroad are usually weaker and, in the eyes of the authorities, are not protected. Even if your neighbour decides to start a welding business or a pylon near your house starts sparking due to lack of maintenance. Peter Marshall faxed us again yesterday with a clipping from the London Financial Times. This newspaper reports that a new EC directive has been issued to help reduce the levels of electromagnetic pollution, similar to FCC regulations already in force in the US. By January the 1st, 1996, all European Community manufacturers will have to comply with new limits on electromagnetic radiation. However, some of the cases cited refer to industrial situations rather than measures designed to help shortwave listeners. Over the last few months, I've gathered quite a collection of these type of complaints, but I'd like to hear some more cases, especially if there's a happy ending to report. With some European borders now a thing of the past, what's really being done to make sure that radio and TV services from neighbouring countries are allowed to travel freely? Our phone line is open now on 31 for Holland, 35 for Hilversum, 724-222. Joseph Quinn writes from Plymouth, Massachusetts in the USA, but until recently listened to us in West Africa. He points out that in the area he lived in, power cuts were frequent, and so he listened to the radio in the dark. Being in the farming business, his interest was mainly in feature shows about science, agriculture and news. He notes that the major interference problems there are related to high static levels, and sadly, it's difficult to filter out all the noise without getting rid of the program material at the same time.
Media Network. Minutes ahead when seconds count.
Back to shortwave wireless news, and Radio Austria International announced on Tuesday that the media programme Austrian Shortwave Panorama has been discontinued, although the German-language edition of the programme, Kurzwellen Panorama, will remain. David Hermges, host of the English-language edition, has retired from the station, and no replacement editor has yet been found. Anke Petersen in Denmark sent me an interesting reception report here on the relays of Radio Netherlands via transmitters in the Commonwealth of Independent States. He reports signal strength 0 and interference levels of 5, commenting that the broadcasts are so effectively beamed they can't be heard in Europe. Which is really a nice way of saying they haven't started yet. Engineers are still working on that audio link between Hilversum and Moscow. The Voice of America, on the other hand, has started relays of some programmes via Russian transmitters. VOA has hired a megawatt transmitter in Vladivostok, operating on 648 kHz for Korean and Special English programs. And the transmitter site in Irkutsk is putting out several hours on shortwave of VOA programming, the majority of which is beamed towards mainland China. Arthur Cushion is our next guest, reporting from Invercargill, New Zealand. He's on the line now. Arthur, I understand you've been listening to Asia too.
Yes, one of the interesting stations is Indonesia, which you've mentioned being well received in Britain at the European area at 2000. Well, in this area, we hear them at 1800 opening in German, but Radio New Zealand International is on the channel till 1850. That's 9675. 1900 Indonesia's in French. 1930, they have another problem. The Voice of Turkey opens, and 2000 there in English, but that's rather difficult for us. But it's good to know that that signal is getting across to Europe. Palau, and they're using only one frequency now, 9830. The schedule is 2000 to 2330 in Chinese and 2330 to 0100 in English. 0800 to 1200 in Chinese, but I have noticed that that Chinese program has been extended a bit. And then 1200 to 1430 in English, and 1430, then they go into Vietnamese to 1530.
Right, this is the station from High Adventure Ministries on Palau.
That's right, KHBN, and they are announcing an address in Hong Kong for reception reports and other mail. As well, they're using the usual one of Box 66, Koro, Palau, which is their well-established address. The United States and KCBI in Dallas, their schedule seems to be now 1430 to 2130 on 15375. Down here, they're blocked by Spain till 2100, and then they're in the clear for the last 30 minutes of that transmission. They then move frequency to a higher channel of 15725. Very poor signals in this area, not a good signal at all. And then, of course, the lower frequency, which is 0230 through to 1430, and the channel there is 9815, provides quite good reception. And here's a recording of their station announcement.
You're listening to International Broadcast Station KCBI, Dallas, Texas, United States of America, transmitting on 9815 kHz.
Moving on to other parts of the world, Radio Braz is often a difficult signal here, and it's heard at 1900 on the frequency of 15265, not a very regular signal. We hear Russia and Adventist World Radio Sonara transmitter, and this is in English, 0430-0500, and the repeat is 1600 to 1630, and that English is on 15125 for both transmissions. The AWR station in Forli, Italy, its English broadcast is on the 0730 to 0800 on 7210, and there's another broadcast from 1030, and that's through to 1100, and that's 7230 kHz.
Thank you, Arthur. Now, finally back to our fantasy theatre presentation. Can you predict the outcome?
There's a very, very little bit in this horse race, and the horses are going towards the finish, and it's extraordinary, and Radio Netherlands is coming on off the outside, and it's past Radio France International, and it's going past the Beeb. The Beeb is breathing very hard indeed. Radio Netherlands is showing flying colours, and they've finished. It's Radio Netherlands by a neck over the Beeb, followed by Radio France International, Voice of America, all the other horses, and wait a minute, there's a horse stumbling in at the very end. Wait, it's Deutsche Welle is coming in, last but not least.
Well, in the real world, wouldn't be interesting if international radio ratings were based on similar facilities. Those we'll be finding out in the coming weeks. International broadcasters are finding themselves more and more in competition with each other. More details soon. In the meantime, let's all have a peaceful weekend.
Copyright 1993.
This is PCJ Radio.